Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, everyone. I'm Welton Gaddy. Last year on this show, I had the pleasure of speaking with Kathy Marino Thomas, then head of Marriage Equality New York. Since then, Maryland's governor signed a similar law, and the several states have made progress on this issue. There have also been aggressive, well-funded campaigns to roll back these fundamental family rights in several states, and in November, some voters will be called upon to cast a ballot potentially restricting the rights of their fellow Americans. Also since then, Kathy Marino Thomas has moved up to become co-president of the organization Marriage Equality USA, and I am delighted to have her back with us today on State of Belief Radio. Kathy, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Would you summarize briefly the key battleground states where marriage equality is in play and kind of what's going on there?
There's a lot going on. We at Marriage Equality USA are focusing on four states in particular for this election season. Maryland, that has their governor's support of marriage equality, but it has been placed on a referendum allowing the people to vote on the issue of whether or not to keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
We are focusing on Maine in the same position as Maryland. Maine's vote is actually the second go-round for their referendum.
Mm-hmm.
And we, for the first time, as the LGBT community, has asked for that referendum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that the voting was not above board last time, and we believe the votes in Maine are there for our equality.
Mm-hmm.
We are also focusing on Minnesota and Washington State in similar situations as Maryland.
Mm-hmm. What kind of work are you doing in those states to get people ready for the vote?
Well, now that we have merged with our sister organization in California, we are a national group. We are working on phone banks across the country. We have a system that you can go either to a local phone banking center or you can phone bank from your computer at home. To try and reach out to voters in those key states and explain to them the issue of marriage equality and why our families so badly need this civil right. We are also sending some foot soldiers, I like to call them,
mm-hmm.
Around to these states to do some good old-fashioned canvassing door-to-door on this issue.
Wherever and whenever this issue comes up, any and all opposition to marriage equality always, it seems, always boils down to religious language. As a secular democracy, the rights of all of our citizens should simply not be defined by the religious beliefs of some of our citizens. Do you see the opposition as purely motivated by religion, or are there some other agendas at work?
Well, I think that our opposition's bottom line objections are two things. Religion, as you've stated, has no place in a country where our Constitution is based on the separation of church and state.
Right.
And their view that gay men and lesbians are not fit to be parents. Now, on this second issue, the data just does not support their view.
Mm-hmm.
There are varying estimates on the number of children that LGBTQ parents are raising, but the data is clear that these children are just as likely to be well-adjusted as the progeny of traditional union.
Hmm. Imagine for a minute, Kathy, that I'm having a conversation with an opponent of marriage equality. What is the single most effective point that I can make, and how do I make it?
What I usually say is the following. Our families, they exist. They exist with or without support of the law. Our love and commitment to one another also exists with or without support of the law. However, without support of the law, we are dependent on society to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
In support of the law, we are free to take care of ourselves.
That's a good one, and it helps people understand how to respond when sometimes that knowledge is always right at the tip of their tongue.
Correct.
For many LGBT Americans in binational relationships, the state-by-state adoption of marriage equality really is a cruel joke. It's actually alarming how many progressive Americans seem to think that marrying a non-citizen same-sex partner now conveys some significant rights, when in fact it does no such thing.
It actually harms them.
Yes. So how far off do you think federal changes are, and are you all working on reaching that goal also?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The good news is there are a few cases making their way through the system that have been presented to the Supreme Court. Two in particular are of high interest to me and to our organization. One is the Proposition 8 case, which I think anyone working on marriage equality is interested in. And the second is a case brought by a New York state widow, Edie Windsor, against the IRS. Both of these cases are supposed to be reviewed by the Supreme Court on September the 24th. If they decide they do not want to hear the Proposition 8 case, we will win the case in California. And marriages will resume.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that it's centric to the state of California. Edie Windsor's case, however, was brought against the IRS when her partner of 44 years passed away, and Edie was presented with a tax bill of over $300,000. Edie is 84 years old, and she decided that she wanted the focus of the remainder of her life to be suing the IRS for the right to inherit tax-free from her wife of 44 years. She actually won her case and was given a judgment of $352,000 to be paid back to her. Of course, it was appealed, and it is now being presented to the Supreme Court. There again, if they refuse to hear the case, Edie will win her judgment. We will have then won with our state-level marriage license against the IRS, and that would be our first federal win. This would be a step in the right direction to challenging the Defense of Marriage Act at a federal level.
I don't know about you, but for me, it's difficult to talk and hold your breath at the same time. But when the Supreme Court's mentioned, I hold my breath.
Me too.
Okay. Kathy, what resources does Marriage Equality USA offer for friends and allies who'd like to be more effective advocates for fairness for all families?
There are various places on our website that you can put in your name and number and volunteer for various things, the 20 Million More campaign, our Speakers Bureau, getting just generally involved in the issue itself. Of course, if time is an issue for you, you can always donate money to help us do our work. Also available on our website, marriageequality.org. We have lots of work to do, and we have lots of jobs to give away.
Kathy, it must have been wonderful to see marriage equality added to the Democratic National Convention's platform.
Oh, God, yes.
Earlier, the president's endorsement made global headlines. Just how important are such declarations of support?
Well, they're extremely important. First of all, President Obama is the first president to sitting president to actually come out in support of marriage equality or just in out for equality for all families, which is really the high-level important issue here. We want everyone in this country to be treated the same, and he has certainly worked hard to get this country back to its founding principles. It gives everyone hope. Mm-hmm. It gives people the knowledge that up there in the world of people who can actually make changes, they get it.
Mm-hmm. I've been talking with Kathy Marino Thomas, co-president of Marriage Equality USA. She's the former head of Marriage Equality New York, and we can only hope that the same level of success follows Kathy from the latter to the former. Kathy Marino Thomas, thank you so much for joining us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
Before we go, I'd like to take just a moment to express my personal sorrow about the senseless violence and loss of life that resulted from the attacks of 9/11. No, I'm not talking about the terrorist attacks of 11 years ago, horrific as they were. Sadly, September 11th of 2012 saw deadly attacks of another kind on the American Embassy in Cairo, Egypt, and the U.S. Consulate in Benghazi, Libya. One of the victims of the Libyan attack, Envoy Christian Stevens, had worked closely with Libyan rebels leading up to the ouster of dictator Muammar Gaddafi. On Wednesday at noon, the Islamic Society of North America called a press conference at the National Press Club here in Washington, D.C. I was honored to be involved in that press conference and speak to those who attended it, along with the ambassador to the United States from Libya. Here is a part of what I had to say at that press conference in relation to this breaking and terribly sad story. I've been with Muslim communities all over this world. I understand, as I think all of us standing here do, that interfaith dialogue, interreligious dialogue, is absolutely essential. Unfortunately, not in our country and not internationally, not everyone understands the concept of religious freedom. But we do all agree that interreligious dialogue never trades in violence. Interfaith dialogue is to produce mutual understanding. Violence promotes death, which in all of our religions is condemned. I want today not only to express sympathy to those who have lost friends and colleagues and family members, but also to assure those of you in the Muslim world, as well as people in the United States, that religion that promotes violence is something else parading as religion. None of the great faith traditions embrace violence as a value. And I'd like to say, in a personal word, that I am embarrassed and ashamed that the Christian religion has been associated with an act as hateful as that of releasing a film intended to incite violence and even to cause the deaths of innocent people. It is a form of rhetorical hate crime. It has no place in our democracy or in Christianity. And for one person to endorse a film and to commend it to the world in the name of Christ, bearing the name of Christ, that causes this kind of violence and loss and division is wrong. The Christian religion is about peace, just as is Judaism, just as Islam. But I want to say, for all of you to hear, that in the name of Christianity, I condemn the promotion of that kind of hatred and weep over the kind of consequences, deadly consequences, it has provoked.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Please visit us online at stateofbelief.com to find out more about the show, hear extended interviews, read transcripts, and sign up for our podcasts. You can learn about the new State of Belief app for iPhone and Android devices, so you can listen to State of Belief anywhere, anytime. Share your thoughts on what you've heard. Share them on Facebook and Twitter. Contact information is available if you need it at stateofbelief.com, including the toll-free listener line, 800-856-0277. As always, we encourage you to tell others about this show and encourage them to listen so they can be a part of a growing conversation. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief. The only one who could
was the son of a preacher man.
The only boy who could ever teach me
was the son of a preacher man.
Yes, he was.